Welcome into the KSRO kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, and on the other side of the microphone is Chef John Ash.
How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. You know, we pride ourselves in kind of knowing what's happening in the world of food, but boy, this came as a surprise to me. I did not know that there was a National Raw Milk Cheese Day. And has been for the last 3 years. This is the fourth annual. And it happens to fall today on Saturday, the 21st.
So do you think, there have been such controversy about raw milk cheeses, which we'll have to ask our guest, who's going to be on here in a second, about them. But maybe that's why they haven't promoted it very much. I don't know.
Well, we will find out as we welcome Liam Callahan to the show today. Good morning, Liam.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Liam, the cheesemaker for the past, I think it's been 27 or 8 years, from Bellwether Farms, the artisan creamery in beautiful Petaluma, California, here in Sonoma County. And we have in front of us one of your raw milk cheeses. It's the Papato, which is a raw sheep milk cheese with peppercorns, which is aged a minimum of 3 months. We're going to taste this. Would you, in layman's terminology, describe what a raw milk cheese is? I know there's these legal definitions, and there's cheesemakers I've read about that pasteurize their milk at 98 degrees, and some pasteurize it at 158 degrees, and they call their cheese raw milk. What is your protocol? What's your interpretation of what raw milk cheese is all about?
Yeah, of course. There are a number of different ways to pasteurize milk, depending on the kind of product you're going to make. There are even shelf-stable milk products out there that don't require refrigeration, and those are pasteurized at a super high temperature, very, very close to boiling temperature. But in the cheese world, pasteurization is a heat treatment that typically happens at one of two temperatures, either 145 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the lowest pasteurization temperature that you can legally call it a pasteurized product. And that's a process that heats it to that temperature and holds it for 30 minutes. Now, another common temperature that you hear, and it allows you to do higher volumes of product, is 161 degrees. And it doesn't sound like a lot of a difference, 145 to 161. But because of that additional 16 degrees Fahrenheit, you only have to hold the milk for 15 seconds at that temperature. So pasteurization is a combination of temperature and time. That is meant to try and eliminate all of the bacteria that is in the milk when it comes from the animal. And there's bacteria that could be in the animal in milk. There's bacteria that is in the environment, so it's on the outside of the animal and it gets in the milk. And then there's also potential bacteria from just steps of handling of the milk. And when people hear the word bacteria, they're, of course, very, very fearful. And in reality, the vast majority of the bacteria that can be in milk is there and doing good things for you, actually producing flavor. So we do some pasteurized milk cheeses that we sell under the legal minimum, which is 60 days. If you want to sell a raw milk cheese, you have to age it for that long. Fresh cheeses, of course, can never be held that long. Ricotta or fromage blanc or yogurt. It's not a cheese, but a dairy product. For a raw milk cheese, you have to age it 60 days minimum. My feeling is that a true raw milk cheese is not ever heated anywhere near that temperature, typically not much over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And in fact, that's how we handle our Papato in San Andreas. It's milk that comes from the animal. It's cooled in our tank. And then once we have enough for a batch of cheese, it goes into our pasteurizer, which you also use just to preheat the milk. You don't have to use it for pasteurization. And there are other intermediate steps that aren't a full pasteurization. Steve, we were talking about this a little earlier. each strain of bacteria that is in that milk has a different temperature threshold. And this is kind of where some of the science comes in, but they have identified different temperature levels that you can heat the milk and do what's called a heat treatment. It's not a pasteurization because you're either not at the right temperature or you're not doing it for the right amount of time, but you manage to kill some of the bacteria. And the idea is that you're killing more of the potentially harmful ones that are there and allowing more of the neutral or harmless, only beneficial ones to remain intact and then work for you later in the cheese.
So you mentioned, and there's controversy about this because old world cheesemakers, they don't want to pasteurize their milk, even for cheeses that are less than 60 days old, because they feel it destroys flavor or changes them dramatically and all of that, which I guess it does.
And destroys certain vital nutrients that you can't get once cheese has been pasteurized. But I mean, that's
it's the thing about cheese making and maybe so many other things when you're preparing food. It's very few steps that are just black and white, and everything has sort of a ripple effect on the cheese. Now, there are some unbelievably delicious pasteurized milk cheeses. There's no way to throw them under the bus. They stand alone and speak for themselves when you try them. You know, you just can't say all pasteurized milk cheeses are lousy. But what the Old Ways Cheese organization is trying to underscore is that in our general concern about how do we define safe in food, we are giving up a lot of very traditional methods. We are giving up traditional flavors that are part of the panorama of the cheese experience that has been there for thousands of years, and there's no way to mimic these flavors and textures by taking them away. You can make great things.
And Liam, I'm so glad you are such a beautiful talker, because you've given John and me a chance to be eating your cheese while you've been talking. So, John and Liam, why don't you describe the flavors of this Pepato raw milk cheese we're tasting?
Yeah, our Pepato cheese has been one of our standbys that we've been making since we first started making aged cheeses in 1990. We, as neophytes, we were selling only at farmers markets. We had basically one recipe for cheese. And then we thought, well, maybe how can we embellish this? And we put peppercorns in that. And then we had suddenly two cheeses to sell. It was very, very fun to be able to double my offerings so easily. But in truth, pepper and cheese is a real traditional pairing. And what we've done is taken a raw milk sheep cheese that has very nice full flavor. And we originally based our recipe off of the sheep cheeses that you would find in North Central Italy, an area known the world over for aged sheep cheese production. But over the years, we've kind of allowed ourselves to interpret that recipe and bring out flavors that we liked and changed it really, frankly, quite a bit, so that we have a smoother body to our cheese and a kind of a rounder flavor, less sharp, less salty. Wow. And we do that by giving this a period of in the aging where it's actually treated more like a washed rind cheese. A washed rind cheese is a cheese that during the early stages of aging, the cheesemaker allows a very sticky or slimy growth that develops on the surface. And there's a kind of surface kind of bacteria that grows on the outside of cheeses that make it very sticky. typically washed French cheese. They're soft cheeses. There's Cowgirl Creamery makes Red Hawk cheese that people might know. Aromatic and soft. And
stinky. Right?
And a characteristic orange reddish color. Mm-hmm.
Well, this cheese is so mild and smooth and buttery and rich and complex, mm-hmm. and I can't think of any more adjectives to describe it, but it's just a perfect eating cheese. I just love it. People should know that also, I believe, Bellwether was the first sheep's milk dairy west of the Mississippi. Is that right, when your mom started the dairy some 30 years ago or so, Liam?
It's such a strange story to hear a family that moves from San Francisco, buys a property west of Petaluma, and suddenly discovers that we have 6-foot-tall grass. And my mom went down to the auction yard and bought some sheep for lawnmowers and just fell in love with the process of raising sheep. And that was in 1986. By 1990, we had built our dairy after a friend suggested. He'd seen sheep dairies all over Europe and in the Middle East. Everyone who has sheep is making cheese. We were oblivious to the fact that you could milk sheep. When we started that dairy, we were the third in the U.S. and the first, I kind of jokingly say, the first actually west of the Hudson River because of the initial sheep milkers in the U.S. were in the upper northeastern corner of the country, just a couple of them, and they had just started. Very new industry. No one knew anything about it. And it's gone by so fast, I can't believe it.
Well, it's been a phenomenal success story. Mm-hmm. The dairy Bellwether cheeses available at Better Markets. Just call and inquire at your local cheesemaker and certainly pick up some Pepato or the other non-peppered version of this sheep's mm-hmm. milk cheese and honor and celebrate National Raw Milk Cheese Day with us. Thank you, Liam Callahan. We just have one more thing to say to you before we mm-hmm. cut you loose, and that's
happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Liam.
Happy birthday to you.
How's that?
Thank you, guys. They get less and less fun every year, yeah. But I will. It is nice to be have a day that you can say, I want to do nothing, and no one can question.
Well, as I like to say, let your cheese age and you stay the same age.
Yeah, that's right. I need a good wax coating at this point. I think.
Nice talking to you as always. Thanks again.
Thanks, Liam.
All right. Take care, guys.
You bet. Liam Callahan from Bellwether Farms back after this.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
The Green Music Center at Sonoma State University is going to liven up your summer. Performances at Wild Hall and Lawn include a variety of artists, like comedy from Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias.
You know when you're drunk, you're doing laps in the parking lot and you can't find the exit.
Music from Hunter Hayes.
I want to make you feel wanted.
Boys to Men. Lyle Lovett and his large band.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean.
And a 4th of July fireworks spectacular. Summer at the Green 2018 runs July through September and offers unparalleled performance options from the 1,400-seat Wild Hall, tables on the grassy terraces, or on the lawn with your own blankets or folding chairs. Lawn seats are only $25. Don't miss Summer at the Green 2018. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. on April 24th. For more details, visit gmc.sonoma.edu. The Green Music Center at Sonoma State University is going to liven up your summer. Performances at Wild Hall and Lawn include a variety of artists, like comedy from Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias.
You know when you're drunk, you're doing laps in the parking lot and you can't find the exit.
Music from Hunter Hayes.
I want to make you feel wanted.
Boys to Men. Lyle Lovett and his large band.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean.
And a 4th of July fireworks spectacular.
Summer at the Green 2018 runs July through September and offers unparalleled performance options from the 1,400-seat Weill Hall, tables on the grassy terraces, or on the lawn with your own blankets or folding chairs. Lawn seats are only $25. Don't miss Summer at the Green 2018. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. on April 24th. For more details, visit gmc.sonoma.edu.
Did you know the largest RV dealer in the North Bay is now celebrating 27 years in business, and they're right here in Petaluma? Reed's Trailer Sales on Old Redwood Highway in Petaluma has over 200 travel trailers, fifth wheels, and truck campers. Now's the time to make the best deals of the season, and Reed's will match any show deal on comparable models. Also, Reed's Trailer Sales is looking to consign your late model motorhome, travel trailer, or fifth wheel. Let our experts sell it for you. Reed's will get you top dollar and save you the time and hassle. Or they can pay you cash on the spot. The largest RV dealer with over 27 years in business is right in our own backyard. Reed's Trailer Sales in Petaluma. Call 792-9100 or on the web at reedsrv.com.
Reed's, Reed's. You should buy your trailer at Reed's, a fifth wheel travel trailer or utility. You should buy your trailer at Reed's.
Reed's Trailer Sales, now accepting consignments.
Here's something good for your soul Sunday mornings with the Center for Spiritual Living. Tune in at 8:30 and hear a half-hour message of practical spirituality from Edward Filyun. You'll hear spiritual practices translated into inspirational ideas for everyday living. Spiritual Living with Edward Filyun, Sunday mornings at 8:30. Think of it as spirituality for people who don't like church. That's Spiritual Living with Edward Filyun, brought to you every Sunday morning at 8:30 on News Talk 1350 KSRO.
A very important anniversary, especially for us here in the Bay Area, is April 18th, 1906. And that was the year, of course, that the big earthquake hit. There's a new book that remembers how things were and has a restaurant slant. It's called Tables from the Rubble: How the Restaurants That Arose After the Great Quake of 1906 Still Feed San Francisco Today. And there's going to be two great dinners with dishes from the turn of the 20th century at a hotel in San Francisco and a hotel in Lake County. On the line with us is author Denise Clifton to share some of the highlights of the book. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Chef.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I have to say that the idea for this book is so brilliant. and also, it's one of those kinds of things that it's just such a reminder of those restaurants that I think we all love, especially those of us who are of a certain age that have been around forever. And it became for me a kind of thing that I'm going to use. I'm going to go visit every one of them again just to remind myself.
I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you so much.
How did the idea to write the book come about? Tell us that.
Well, you know, so a few years ago, I finally made it to Swan Oyster Depot. And Swan Oyster Depot is, as a lot of people probably know, it's a cafe on Polk Street. It's just a counter. They do oysters, obviously. They also do crab and shrimp in season. And it's gotten some fame recently because it's kind of a favorite of celebrity food and travel raconteur Anthony Bourdain. And so I'd heard about it through him, and it took me a while to get there. When I was sitting at the counter, they had a little card on the counter that said they had opened in 1912. And it just got me thinking about Swan and that atmosphere. Here's this counter, and they're shucking oysters behind the counter. They're cracking jokes behind the counter. And this is a place that's been around since that recovery time period, that really intense recovery that happened after the 1906 earthquake. And it was kind of like a window open for me in another way to look at San Francisco and its history and its restaurants. And I thought, how many places are out there like this? How many places can you go to? And if you're paying attention, feel, experience, taste a little bit of that time period when San Francisco was really just rising up and scrambling to recover. And restaurants were a big part of that. And there are some that are still there that are in the same places, and you can experience a bit of that time period if you know about it. So I wanted to share those stories.
You have the menu that you sent us, A Taste of History, the events taking place on April 18th and April 20th. The April 18th is at the Palace Hotel, joining for the anniversary of the Great Quake. That's at 5:30 p.m., cocktail reception, three-course dinner, stories from you, and a great California wines. It's $120, menu available at sfpalace.com. You can go there to get reservations. And I'm looking at the menu. Did you get it? John, I'll just read that, but I think there's a copy of the menu. The reception is oysters on the half shell, 1903 inspired, canapes of smoked salmon, 1909, big eye tuna, 1910 inspired, roasted artichokes, tetrazzini, 1910. And John, what about tetrazzini?
Well, I'm trying to remember if you mentioned it in the book, but I have two factoids. I don't know whether they're true or not. They're kind of stuck in my head. But you did mention that the Green Goddess dressing came from the Palace Hotel. That was something in honor of George Arliss, who was appearing in a play called The Green Goddess. But then there was turkey tetrazzini, and apparently there's some, named after Luisa Tetrazzini, there's some controversy about whether that was developed first in New York or San Francisco. But the other one that at least I remember was Oysters Kirkpatrick.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. And, the chef, so there, you're right, on tetrazzini, there's a bit of a controversy of whether it was started in San Francisco or whether it was created in New York in honor of the opera star Luisa Tetrazzini. The chef who James Beard believed created it was Ernest Arbogast, who was the chef at the Palace mm-hmm. Hotel. Oh. And he is the one who created Oysters Kirkpatrick as well. So, you know, the Palace really did have a role in culinary history, and particularly California's culinary history, mm-hmm. and letting people know, travelers from around the world, about unique California ingredients. And so, you know, the fun thing is all of this menu that we'll be enjoying on Wednesday, April 18th, and then again at the Tallman on Saturday, the 21st, is that all of those dishes are inspired from the Palace Hotel's own menus. So it's pretty cool that tetrazzini is on the 1910 Christmas Day menu, and Luisa Tetrazzini performed a free concert in San Francisco just down the street from the Palace Hotel on Christmas 1910.
Wow. The dinner course continues with the Green Goddess Salad, 1923 inspired, the Palace Duet, which is roasted young duckling and pepper filet mignon, Madagascar. Third course is old-fashioned strawberry shortcake from the 2018 Palace today. And the Tallman is a wonderful hotel. A lot of people don't know about mm-hmm. that up in Lake County. They're doing, as you mentioned, Denise, the same menu on April 20th with select wines, too. And John, you did an event up mm-hmm. at the Tallman, uh-huh. didn't you?
Yeah, with my last book, we did a dinner. And it's a beautiful hotel. It's a place that I think people don't know about, but it's like a little piece of California history there when you drive into that area. So I learned something from you. I have to say about Swan Oyster Depot, which really is so iconic that you can order. I didn't know this that you can order things off menu, like the plate of crab legs that is not on the menu, but apparently if you're in the know, you can get that. So I'm going to try.
Absolutely, yes. The San Chimino brothers who run Swan Oyster Depot now, and they say, you know, obviously they have crab. You can get a plate of crab legs. It's sort of one of those things that you can ask for if it's in season and they have it, they'll do it.
The book has wonderful stories about, of course, John's Grill and Schroeder's, and of the Comstock Saloon, and great story about Sam Ho, the great Chinese restaurant that rose in Chinatown from the ashes. Great interviews with the owners of that. The Palace Hotel, of course, the Gentleman's Bar, the Bon Vivants, around town, all the other great restaurants in the turn of the 20th century. It's a wonderful book, and we hope people will be able to avail themselves of one of the two dinners celebrating mm-hmm. the book, either at the Palace Hotel or the Tallman Hotel in Lake County. Would you please give us your favorite number today, Denise, between 1 and 10?
7.
Lucky caller 7 at 636-1350 will win this copy of Tables from the Rubble, How the Restaurants That Arose After the Great Quake of 1906 Still Feed San Francisco Today. You can, I guess, find that. Can you find it online, Denise, or at bookstores?
You can find it both online and at bookstores. It is in San Francisco at both Omnivore Books, where I had an event a few weeks ago, and also at Green Apple Books, where I'll be in September. And then it's also on Amazon. And there is a multimedia version on Apple's iBookstore that includes some extras. It includes all of the Palace Hotel menus, for example, some videos, and an interactive map as well.
Fantastic. We're sorry we don't have more time. We hope to have a chance to chat in the future. Good luck with the book, and thanks for joining us today.
I just want to tell you, I'm headed for Sam Woe to get the raw fish salad. There you go.
So fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. And I love, you know, I love talking about this with people who love these restaurants and these stories as much as I do. So it's a pleasure to talk with you today and to hear that from you. Thank you.
Thanks, Denise. We'll come back and we'll taste some award-winning desserts. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour with Steve Garner and Chef John Ash.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts from La Vida Buena Nursery. Savor farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, and Humble Roots organic sprouts. Enjoy farm-to-table almonds, walnuts, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm fresh products. Minhee's Korean cuisine, Eli's authentic Mexican food, Mi Fiesta's fresh tamales, and a whole lot more. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
No one likes to live with the mess and inconvenience of home improvement projects. That's why Milgard makes it so easy for you to replace your old, drafty, hard-to-open windows. Often it takes less than a day to improve the look and value of your home with reliable, energy-efficient Milgard replacement windows. Milgard's dependable delivery means you get the right windows at the right time. And because most jobs use your existing frames and openings, it minimizes the mess. Plus, you don't have to worry about disposing of your old windows. Milgard makes it easy to get home improvement done. Call DJ's Sash and Glass today for Milgard Windows. DJ's can furnish and install a variety of shower door enclosures too. Add a touch of class to your glass with DJ's Sash and Glass. 2985 Wilton Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
A couple of light rainy days after today. Sunny skies for Saturday at 72, 61 on the coast. A few clouds tonight, low 45 inland and on the shores. Some rain for tomorrow at 58, 53 in Bodega Bay. Occasional showers for Monday at 56, 52 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, and we're thrilled to welcome pastry chef Isabelle Mazot, passionate pastry chef and entrepreneur who made a career change from her first field of formulation chemistry, classically trained in French pastry arts in France, refined her skills and embraced the culinary industry's highest standards with work experience at two of San Francisco Bay Area's top bakeries, Craftsman and Wolves and Bouchon, before starting her own business here in Santa Rosa. And last week at the big dessert competition here in Santa Rosa, she won best of show against 23 other pastry masters. And we thought it's high time we introduce Isabelle Mazot to our listeners.
So how did you get from, I don't know, the science business to the baking business?
So, hello everyone. Glad to be here. Hello, Chef. Hello, Steve. How did I get from the chemistry to the pastry? Yeah. Well, I'm a formulation chemist, so meaning I always worked with ingredients and functionalities to create new texture, new products. So this was very obvious. I also come from a family that had a restaurant, and so I grew up in that culinary world.
You grew up above the family's restaurant, right?
I guess so, yes, yes.
And so that when you said, I've done chemistry for years and years and years, I want something new and maybe more artistic?
More artistic, also very, with a kind of short-term, shorter return when you mm-hmm. bring a cake and you make someone happy. This is very a shorter reward time.
Than chemical analysis, and which takes years.
Years, years, 5 years projects.
Mm-hmm. So where did you study pastry arts?
So I studied pastry art in Issaint-Jean, France. This is a leading pastry school, and they have international program. People come from all around the world to train there. So 1 year dedicated to learning the art of pastry. So we would make a croissant 50 times, one cake 50 times. And so I got really solid background there for the basic techniques. A very good school.
Oh, and then to Craftsmen and Wolves, was that your first real job in the pastry world in San Francisco?
Yes, correct. And so Craftsman and Wolves was a great adventure. I worked along Chef Werner. Very technical, very precise. Learn how to taste every batch, how to reject when something is not good, how to redo. Very modern, interesting flavors combination. Very good experience there.
And then from there to Bouchon in Yonville?
Bouchon in Yonville. Bouchon is a very nice institution. Learn a lot about the highest standard of the industry, how to work with cleanliness. Also, really the high volume, high pace. So this time it was not about how to make one cake 50 times, but more how to make 50 cake in one time.
Okay, so that was production baking, really. And then you decided, okay, I want to create my own vision and start my own custom baking company.
Yes, exactly. So about 2 years ago, I decided I was ready for that. And so I wanted to bring to Sonoma County the French iconic dessert that you find in Paris. And so now Santa Rosa is a little closer than Paris to get an authentic French pastry.
And the name of your company is I'm a Cake Couture. It's spelled I-M-A-C-A-K-E Couture, C-O-U-T-U-R-E. And Ima, was that your nickname?
So Ima are my initials.
Isabel Mazot. Oh, got it.
And then I also like that you can play with those three letters and just say, I'm a cake.
I'm a cake couture. So how your business works is that people do have to pre-order. You don't have anything sitting in cases for hours or days.
Yes. So you go online and you can pick from our dessert collection menu. You select what cake size you want. You select then you place your order, and then you schedule either your pickup or delivery, and then your dessert is available at our pickup location at 463 Sebastopol Avenue in Santa Rosa. This is where we have our pastry kitchen.
And you deliver also. What's your radius for delivering?
Sonoma County.
Just Sonoma, not Napa? You don't really...
For big events, we do.
Oh, you will.
Next week, we'll be in Ukiah.
In Ukiah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you will go out for big events.
Yes.
But locally.
So if somebody wanted the big fancy wedding cake or something like that, you would go take it to them?
Yes.
Do you do wedding cakes and that?
Yes. For events, we do.
Yeah.
We have a large selection of petit four for events. And we also do wedding cake, but the French version, which is the croquembouche. Mm-hmm. And this is a little bit our specialty.
So what is croquembouche, for those who don't know?
So Croquembouche is an assembly of cream puffs that are tied together with the caramel. So it's a very simple and original
time way. Consuming.
Mm-hmm. Time consuming to make, yes. It took me probably a good 5 hours to make the croquembouche for the Art of Dessert competition.
And that one Best of Show, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You can go on your website, her website, and look and see the photos of all the beautiful pastries that you do. You also added another feather in your cap, and you just started teaching recently.
Yes, this year I teach French pastry art at Ramequin Culinary School in Sonoma. So this is a really fun way to interact with people, answer their questions, go a little deeper about what's behind the recipe, why one day their macaroni are working, the other day they don't. And so we go into in-depth about the whys and do hands-on
The kind of work you do, I always tease about it, that the world is either made up of bakers, pastry people, or cooks. And pastry people are just, they're the weirdest people in the world because you have to be so precise.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, cooks, you can keep throwing stuff at it until it tastes okay, but you can't do that with,
yes,
with your...
There is a lot of technique in what we do, a lot of precision involved.
Well, and that's why your science background is probably so important, because you have to be very precise. You have to know what you're doing. Do you think that things are changing because of this kind of new wave cooking that's going on with all kinds of bizarre techniques and all of that? I don't know to what extent it's invaded the pastry world, but, you know, the Mirvold book of, you know, culinary mysticism and all of that stuff. Is that happening with pastry too?
There is a trend towards that. In our case, we really try to produce desserts that are less sweet. We try to stay away from buttercream. We try to produce like a light texture with mousse. Mm-hmm. We also, for example, when we use praliné, we reduce the amount of praliné and are using, let's say, hazelnut paste that is not sweet at all. And so that way we bring sugar down, and people often buy our cakes because they look good, but they come back to them saying, oh, they tasted good and surprisingly not as sweet.
So what about gluten-free?
So
is that something that I hear it's so difficult to do what you do, which are fine pastries with flour that isn't really flour, that it comes from other sources. Can you do that?
So we tend to have a gluten-free offer on our menu, and we use recipes that are naturally gluten-free. For example, macarons are naturally gluten-free. Oh, there are no flour involved, only almond flour. And so we don't have to substitute anything. This is just naturally gluten-free. And then we have our bestseller cake, the Royal Chocolat. This cake is also available as a gluten-free.
Wow. And to find all your recipes, all your products online, imacakecouture.com, imacakecouture.com to pre-order any cake you'd like. Are you doing anything special for Mother's Day coming up?
Yes, we always do come up with new cakes for special occasions. So Mother's Day menu is out. You can look at it online. We'll have a grand macaron, which is raspberry and rose. This is a gluten-free cake to share with the family on Mother's Day. We also make a small mom croquembouche.
Mom's croquembouche.
Yes. It's a very tiny little croquembouche for mom, a very special one. And then we have an apple tart called Fleur de Pomme, where all the apples are shaped into rose flowers.
Rosettes.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Beautiful. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And I noticed you brought something.
Hooray!
So we will dive into some of the culinary wizardry of Isabel Mazo, pastry chef extraordinaire, who won the Art of Dessert competition last weekend at the Luther Burbank Center against 23 other world-class pastry chefs. And she's based right here in Santa Rosa. Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
Traffic on the fives and weather six times an hour, mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week, year-round.
Wednesday and Saturday morning, 8:30 to 1, continue the tradition at the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market at the Veterans Building across from the fairgrounds. Now that spring has arrived, grab all the plant starts you need to create your wonderful garden, from edible plants to annuals and perennials. Skyview Nursery and Triple T Farms will have perennials and annuals. Soda Rock Farms from Hillsburg sells their produce to the four local Whole Foods stores, but you can buy direct and save. Get plant starts and produce. It is officially California asparagus season. Zuckerman Farm offers their famous Delta asparagus and fingerling potatoes. Direct from the dock, Santa Rosa Seafood has the freshest catch every Saturday. Try their smoked salmon, too. Grab breakfast, lunch, or dinner from Bella Rosa Coffee, Nelly's Oysters, and Cousin's Maine Lobster.
Check out CommunityFarmersMarkets.com.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So people are calling, asking me to repeat the website for pastry chef Isabelle Mazeau. It is I'm a Cake Couture, I'macakecouture, all one word, and .com, I'macakecouture.com, to look at all of her beautiful pastries and her tarts and her croquembouche and her L'Aperitif cocktail hour products and her individual pastries and her anniversary cakes and classics and her tarts. It just goes on and on and on. You're a one-woman show. You do this all yourself? Is this correct, or do you have 8 or 10 assistants helping you at all times? You do this all yourself?
Yes, I'm the only full-time employee, and then I get help from time to time.
And you also do a quiche. Is this a quiche, this savory? Is that a quiche?
Yes, a deep dish quiche. All the traditional French, either savory or sweets are there.
And you have brought in eclair. And which flavors have you brought in?
So we have our Nutella hazelnut eclair, which is one of our bestsellers. We have the coffee, and we have the praline Paris-Brest eclair.
And what is in that?
So in the Paris-Brest eclair, you got a crunchy layer of praline at the bottom. And then on top, you have a praline mousseline cream. And it's delicious.
They look so delicious. I mean, they really are. They're really beautiful.
You know, when we say we are bringing a little bit of Paris to Sonoma County, we ought to bring eclairs. Yeah.
I want to remind people that today, coming up at noon on KSRO, Warriors playoff coverage begins with game one in their series against the San Antonio Spurs. KSRO coverage begins at noon for tip-off. That means At the Table with Clark Wolf will not be heard today. So, John, which flavor are you interested in?
I don't know. Why don't you pick? What?
I like the crunchy topping one.
Yeah, me too.
Are you too, really?
Yeah. Well, I'll share that one with you.
Okay. Why don't you pass that to John?
I have a knife.
He has a knife, and he can cut that up. In the meantime, do you know when your next class is at Ramekins? Have you done one or two classes at Ramekins?
I've done two classes, and the next one coming up is on May 6th, just before Mother's Day, This is a macaroon class where we'll be doing macarons for Mom.
Wow. And is it hands-on? Do people
hands-on. People get to do their own macaron batter, feel the macarons, and then we discuss a lot about, you know, what can go wrong with macaron and how do you fix it and things like
that. That's fantastic, because these are things that you need to do yourself. I mean, they could watch you do it, but I'm not sure that they would learn much.
Exactly, and I'm always very proud when people contact me after the class and say they tried it at home.
And it worked.
And it worked. That's a great thing. And how many people usually do you have in these classes?
It's about 20 people max. There are a few more spots left for the upcoming class.
In May?
Yes.
Okay. That's a big class. Yeah. Well, you've taught at Ramekins for many, many years.
From the beginning.
And 20, is that a reasonable amount of?
Yeah, it's kind of because you're in that big kitchen there, and there's plenty of room for people to spread out. But it's a lot for the instructor to keep, you know, for you to keep your eye on what are you doing over there? You know,
definitely.
So we're going to take a break, which comes at a perfect time because that means we don't have to talk for 3 minutes and we can eat.
Okay.
So be clear with Isabel Mezot. She's our special guest today, and we're celebrating her win last week at the Pastry Arts Dessert Competition at the Luther Burbank Center against 23 other competitors. Hers was voted best of show for her croquembouche. Steve Garner and John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5 94.5 KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market. You'll find garden starts from La Vida Buena Nursery, Savor Farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, and Humble Roots organic sprouts. Enjoy farm-to-table almonds, walnuts, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm fresh products. Minhee's Korean cuisine, Eli's authentic Mexican food, Mi Fiesta's fresh tamales, and a whole lot more. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Proud members of the Dub Nation, Drs. J.T. Henley and John Mann welcome you to Henley Mann DDS in Rohnert Park, offering all aspects of dentistry for three generations of Sonoma County families.
Featuring the latest technology combined with extensive knowledge and state-of-the-art equipment. Need a second opinion? They've been in practice for more than 30 years. There's not much they haven't seen or done in dentistry. Are you nervous? No problem. They offer sedation dentistry.
Doctors Henley and Mann take care of the whole family, from kids to grandparents. Whatever you need, cosmetic dentistry to surgical extractions and implants, your dental situation will be diagnosed honestly and with integrity. You'll be offered fair fees for service with financing available.
With a special place in their hearts for veterans, having both served our country in the military, they invite you to look them up online at jthenleydds.com and johnmanndds.com.
This month at Grayton Resort and Casino, we're giving away a new Jeep, cash, and more. Play to enter the Off-Road to Riches giveaway on April 27th. You could win a Jeep Grand Cherokee. So many ways to win. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, turn points into slot play. Plus, win up to $30,000 in prizes in the wild winning slot tournaments. Best of all, sign up for Grayton Rewards and get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GraytonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Reward Center.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, introducing our listeners to pastry chef Isabel Mezot, M-A-Z-E-A-U-D. Pastry chef, and her website is I'm a Cake Couture, I'm a Cake Couture. www.ecoprodukes.com. She's based in Santa Rosa, does custom baking, and is really, we're going to see a lot more, I think, written and talked about.
You know, we were talking during the break about that baking, it's such a precise art, I guess it is an art, to do that, that things like temperature and humidity and altitude all can make a big difference. And you were sharing with us, even when you were making the croquembouche, what you had to do because it was a rainy day the day before you made that. And what did you do?
Yes, so we always have to adapt, and that's where the knowledge of the art comes into play. If it's very moist outside, actually the day of the competition in the morning, the relative humidity in the air was 98%. So we use a dehumidificator to remove all the moisture from the room where we mounted the cake. We started really late, a couple of hours before the event. And so these are little tricks that will, you know, help you to nail it for having a croquembouche that really stays until it's eaten.
And it's true of everything, because you were saying the same thing about tarts and, you know, tart dough and all of that, that yes, you can make them ahead, but not too far ahead. And
yes, a tart, I mean, after 12 hours, you are getting the water activity equilibrating between a high water activity filling and the low water activity crust. So after 12 hours, your crust become all soggy and not good. So our way around this and to deliver the best quality is really to bake at the last minute. We always ask people, when is your event? What time? And then we backtrack from there, and we will bake that day.
So I have to ask you, because this was an old trick that supposedly, if you're making apple pie and you don't want your crust to be soggy and all of that, say you're going to bake it in the morning and serve it at night, or even tarts and all that kind of thing. I've read everything from painting the bottom before you blind bake it with egg white to putting jam on the bottom. Do those help?
Yes, they do. We use a hydrophobic layer that we paint before we put the filling in, and these are based on cacao butter. You melt it and then as it cools down, it forms a nice thin layer that doesn't affect the taste, but it will create a nice barrier so that the moisture from the filling won't wet the crust.
I've never heard of that. Cocoa butter. Yeah, that's great.
I've never heard of that either.
What a trick.
See, if we had her another hour, we'd get all her secrets.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Everyone, but that's interesting, because I've only used egg whites or jam. I've never thought to use cocoa butter melted. Thank you for that wonderful tip. You go back to France every year. Are you inspired by what you see in French bakeries still, or how are we catching up here in the States?
I think there are some very nice happening in the States, but France is still leading in the pastry field. Lots of things are happening in different cities, and the world pastry chef is still a French chef. So still a lot happening.
So you get inspired when you go back and you try to catch any bakeries that you come across and see what they're doing?
Oh, I love to do that. Try and go to my favorite bakeries and sample, and also there is some exchange where I go and in a specific patisserie, and then we exchange technique and tricks. Oh. So I usually spend 3, 4, 5 days doing that.
So what do you think of America's baked goods?
America's is, I think it's changing a lot.
Yeah.
I see a very, very fine patisseries.
Yeah.
And so it's nice. I think people are techniques are evolving in the same way.
Well, it was kind of a setup, because James Beard, if you know who James Beard is, his comment when he was alive was he thought the finest baking in the world was actually happening in the United States.
Yeah.
But it was a different kind of baking, much more rustic. It isn't the beautiful stuff that you do.
And speaking of that, we can just mention that it's imacakecouture.com, www.imacakecouture.com. And can we give the phone number also, Isabel?
Yeah, 707-843-9101.
So with Mother's Day coming up and wonderful celebrations and anniversaries and birthdays, make sure she is on your radar. Thank you so much for coming in and bringing these beautiful eclair. This is almost too beautiful to eat. The macaron raspberry cake.
We got a picture of it.
We have a picture.
We'll so Mike's going to put it up. Yeah.
So you can have a look at this on the KS Ortal website. Next week, we'll be in the kitchen. We'll be talking about the chefs of tomorrow, some of the gifted high school chefs, would-be chefs that are competing in a great competition. And that's coming up next Saturday. Thank you, Isabel.
Thank you for having me today.
Thank you, Chef John Ash.
You're welcome.
Warrior Basketball coming up next. This is KSRO in Santa Rosa, California.